message you're about to listen to is from the altar of Impact House International Church. Stay blessed as you listen.
Let's give him one more clap as we take our seats. It's my pleasure to welcome you to God's presence this morning. And I know that God is going to bless someone. And if you are that person, let me hear you say a big amen. I say God is going to bless somebody. And if you are that person, let me hear you say a big amen. We are grateful to God for what he did in the services last week. And for what he did on Wednesday in the communion service. And I know this morning he said to bless you again. If you are ready, shout, I am ready. You will not miss your portion in Jesus' name. I've been speaking this morning, this first service, on the making of an excellent family. The making of an excellent family. We want to appreciate specifically our Fufu students who are watching us from their school this morning. We are reaching out to them via the technology this morning, and they are all gathered together this morning, and we pray that the Lord will bless. Let's wave to them wherever they are. Can you turn to the congregation as we wave to them, and I'm sure they are waving back to us this morning. The Lord bless you, and the Lord grant you success in Jesus' mighty name. Somebody say a big amen. I didn't hear your amen. The making of an excellent family. We also want to appreciate our internet audience and all those who watch us or watch the services, particularly on Sundays. God will bless you this morning again in Jesus' name. Excellence in any area of life is not accidental. Anything you call accident is not something that is actually good. Anywhere you hear accident is not something that is favorable. And so, excellence in marriage is not an accident thing. Excellent family is not something that just happens. And God created every family to be excellent. In Genesis 1 verse 27 and 28, God formed man. And after he formed the man, he also went ahead. God created man in his own image. That's an excellent image. In the image of God created he, male and female created he them. And in verse 28, God spoke to them and God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowls of the air and over everything that moveth upon the earth. So our excellence is actually from scriptures. We were destined to enjoy excellence in our family life. What is a family? A family is a group of people closely related, having father, mother, and other people who are related in the family. It also includes two or more people who share common goal, values, and long-term commitment. It involves people who share common goals, who share values, and who share common commitment. Another word for family in the Bible is household, your household. And in the name of Jesus, both you and your household will be blessed this morning in the name of Jesus. I say both you and your household will be blessed this morning in the name of Jesus. The family excellence is not just something that came up or man just wished for it to come up. God created it. God brought it about. And this morning, I'll be showing us, before I go into the body of the message, important facts about family. Everybody came out of one family or another. Also, you don't choose your family. You only choose your spouse. You don't choose your family. You don't say, this is the family I must come out from. If it were so, many people would have chosen rich families, prosperous families, families that live in London or live in or live anywhere else in the world where things are better. But nobody has the option to choose the family he comes from. You can only choose your spouse, you choose your husband, you choose your wife, but not the family that you come from. Is somebody with me this morning? Is somebody with me this morning? Examples of families that were excellent. I'll give us one or two in this service, and I will also try to give us more in the second service. The first family that I'll be talking about this morning that we will call an example of an excellent family is Abraham's family in Genesis chapter 6, verse 8. Let me start from Noah. Noah's family first. Noah's family. Noah, in Genesis chapter 6, verse 8, the Bible was speaking there that Noah found grace before the Lord. Genesis chapter, and Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. In Genesis chapter 7, verse 1, it was only Noah's family that was spared. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house. Come and all your house into the ark, for thee I have seen righteous before me in this generation. You know the story very well. I know many of us here are Bible scholars. God wanted to destroy the entire world. And he saw Noah's family as the family that he is excellent. He saw Noah's family as the family that he wanted to spare from destruction. He saw Noah's family as the family that must not go into the grave. In the name of Jesus, the Son of the Living God, no obituary will come out in your family this year. I say no obituary will come out of your family this year. God that did not allow any obituary to come out of Noah's family during the time of the destruction of the world, that same God will preserve your own family. Somebody say a louder amen. Somebody say a louder amen. Second example of a good, excellent family is the family of Abraham in Genesis chapter 18, verse 19. Genesis 18, verse 19. The Bible was talking about Abraham there, and for I know God was speaking there that he will command his children. That's talking about Noah, about Abraham. For I know that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he had spoken of him. Abraham is another example of an excellent family. God could vouch for him. He said, I know Abraham's family will follow after their father's pattern. I know the children will follow after the pattern of the father. I know the children of Abraham will be blessed because they will do exactly what their daddy has told them to do, that is following the Lord. These two families is an example to show us that your family can actually be an excellent family. And I say this before God, as God liveth, your family will be an example of an excellent family in the name of Jesus. I'll be showing you four keys that backs excellence in families and four keys that makes a family to lose excellence. I'll share two of the keys that backs excellence in the first service. I'll share two in the second service. I will share two of the keys that backs excellence in the second two also in the second service. So two in this service, keys that backs excellence, and two of the keys that destroys excellence in this service and the other two in the second service. And I know that somebody will be blessed in the name of Jesus. The first key that backs excellence in your family is walking in the commandment of God. Walking in the commandment of God. Just like what God said about Abraham in Genesis 18 verse 19. He said, I know the family of Abraham will walk according to my commandment. I know they will do justice and they will do judgment. I know they will not walk after the wrong pattern. I know it. I believe it. They will do justice and they will do judgment. They will do justice and they will do judgment. That is, they will walk right. They will walk in the right path. Can we go to the B part to show us that part that I'm talking about? They will do justice and they will do judgment. Walking in God's commandment always brings your family to the level whereby everybody is wondering about you. They are surprised about your life. Psalm 71 verse 7. I am a living wonder because thou art my strong refuge. Our God makes us wonder as we follow his commandment. This day God will give you the grace to be a wonder to your generation in Jesus' name. Your family will be a wonder to his generation in the name of Jesus. Let me hear somebody say a big amen. God has given us rules and regulations. He has given us way we are to conduct ourselves as believers. As we do it, we become excellent. For example, there are three vital scriptures or three vital verses in the Bible that shows us how the father, the mother, and the children should behave. Colossians chapter 3, verse 18 to 20. Colossians chapter 3, verse 18 to 20 says, wives, submit yourself unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. He says, husbands, love your wife and be not bitter against them. Colossians 3, verse 19. Love your wives. Don't be bitter against them. Wives, submit yourself to your own husband. Let him be a lord over you. That's what the Bible is trying to say. And then husband, love your wife so much and refuse to be bitter. You know, women, we always be women. And so when a woman does something you don't like, then and you are bitter against her, you are angry against her, or you are doing things that makes it look as if you hate her, then excellence cannot stay in that family. Every family that must enjoy the best. And of course, in verse 20, Colossians 3, verse 20, tells us about the children. It says, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. So this scripture, Colossians 3, verse 18 to 20, shows us a summary of how an excellent family should behave. Tells us the conduct of the father, the conduct of the mother, and the conduct of the children for them to qualify for excellence in life. And as God liveth, your family will be counted among the excellent families in Jesus' name. Say a big amen. Say a big amen. Say a big amen. Number two major key that births excellence in your family is to build trust. And I said here, without trust, the family will rust. Without trust, the family cannot do well. Listen, if you have lost the trust of your spouse, you must work hard to regain it. If you have lost the trust of your husband, you must work hard to regain it. Because, you see, excellent families thrive on trust. Excellent relationship thrives on trust. I can't give my life to you if I can't trust you. I can't submit my soul to you if I cannot trust you. And this has been a major problem in most families, where the husband cannot trust the wife cannot trust the husband. In fact, in some families, the husband will tell the wife to taste the food first before he can eat it, so that he can be sure that the food is okay. He doesn't trust her. Once trust is gone, the level of excellence in the family begins to deplete. The husband goes out, and then as he goes out, you are trailing him up and down. Your wife says, I'm going to the market. Then you say, which market? He says, so market. Then you go to that market to see if she will come out of the market or not. Marriage thrives on trust. And God will help that wife as she's coming out of the market. She meets a guy they went to the same university. And then they were greeting each other. And she held his hand and she was shaking the hand. And then you come out of your car and say, I said it. I said it, that it's not only market you are going. You are going to the market and you are going to market yourself too. Whereas it's not true. It's not true. Husbands, trust your wife. Wives, trust your husband. At least trust them first before you begin. Let them give you a benefit of doubt that they cannot be trusted before you now go into distrust. And even if they have done things that have made you to distrust them in the past, give them another chance. Give them another chance. If God did not give you another chance, will you be here? For all have sinned and have come short of the glory of God. You must have also, at one time or the other, erred, either knowingly or unknowingly. So give them another chance. My prayer for somebody here today is that grace to trust your spouse well and effectively. Receive that grace in the name of Jesus. So work hard not to lose the trust. And if the trust is already lost, work hard to regain the trust. Don't be a man that hides money from your wife. When your wife is coming, you quickly push the money under the bed. Then when she goes, you go and bring the money out of it. Is she going to steal the money from you? It's a privilege for you for your wife to be spending from your money.
Yeah.
If she didn't need your money at all, you might not even feel nice.
Yeah.
If she doesn't, if she looks at you and says, I don't need a dime from your wretched pocket, then you know that you are in soup. So if she still needs your money, she should be thanking God. Ah, God, I thank you that I'm able to even dip my hands in my pocket. I can see wonderful women here shaking their head. Yes, yes, yes. You are saying something. Women, am I saying something to you this morning? It's a privilege for you as a husband for you to be able to give your wife something. The name of Jesus, the Son of the Living God. Anytime your wife asks you for money, your pocket will not be empty. I say, anytime your wife asks you for money, your pocket will not be empty. As children here, anytime you ask your parents for money, your pocket will not be, their pocket will never be empty. Say a big amen. I don't know how you feel about it. Anytime my wife asks me for money, I'm happy about it. I never frown. What do you mean? The one I gave you yesterday, go, you finish it. What will women do than to spend money before? You see, she finish it. Before uncle, she will not finish it. What do you mean? Your pocket will be loaded with blessings. Your pocket will be loaded with blessings. Did I hear you say a big amen? So, I'll teach on the other 3 and 4 in the second service. Let me go quickly to this other four keys that can kill excellence in a family. I'll teach on the first 2 and also teach on the second 2 in the second service. The other 4 keys that can kill excellence in a family. Number 1 is ingratitude. A family where there is no gratitude cannot be a great family. A family where there is no gratitude cannot move forward as a family. Let me tell you this, beloved. Anything that God has done for you, your parents have done for you, your wife has done for you, your husband has done for you, your children have done for you, it deserves appreciation. I can tell you this, one of the things that grinds family, that makes them family on the floor, is when they don't appreciate God. Show me one family where there's ingratitude and where there's sustained blessings. You know, ingratitude brings dryness. Ingratitude brings, everything just dries up for the family where there's no gratitude. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18, the Bible says, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. In everything, don't be the kind of wife whereby you must first count the money your husband has given to you first before you say thank you. So you want to first know if the money is big or small before you know how big the thank you will be. If the money is very big, you need down 2 legs. If the money is very small, you are on your feet, say thank you. Thank you, eh? Don't be the kind of husband you lick good soup. You even almost bite your gums. You see what they say? Guy, very, very nice, very, very lovely. But you never even bother to say, my wife, I really appreciate this soup. I really thank you for this. I feel satisfied. There are many of your mates who don't have a wife to cook for them. Who have never been married before. They've never been married before in their life. And they are even more handsome than you. Your level of gratitude determines your level and your altitude in life. You can't be great as a family if you are always complaining about what God has not done for you. Learn as a family to always be grateful. Don't be a child that collects school fees and you just say, received. As you received the alert, then you now replied, received. Received. Or, okay. Or, I'm on my way to pay now. Is that the next thing to say? I'm on my way to pay now. I'm on my way to. Is that what we are talking about? No thank you. No appreciation. No thank you. ingratitude is a killer of blessings. Ingratitude frustrates blessings. Ingratitude it makes blessings to be strangulated. Anytime you see what God has done in your life, the best thing you can do is to thank Him. The best thing you can do is to appreciate Him. While I was praying early this morning, God just reminded me of something that happened to me some years ago. And I was just thanking God. And it was just like a flash to me of something in particular that God did for me years ago before I got married. Many years ago. Should I tell you? Praise God. One day I was going out and I was just driving. And then a guy, I think he was targeting a particular car that he can fall in front of it, and then the car can hit him small, and then he can drink some milk. I don't know if you understand what I mean. Unfortunately, that day, I didn't really notice, because my wife, who was my fiancée at that time, was also with me in the car. We just went out to an eatery to take something. So I was just thinking, I didn't look to the front. The guy just fell. The car did not touch him. And he did like he has died. He started doing like this. He started doing like, hey, yeah, that's, yeah, that's him. Thank God, somebody hit me. And then I knew the car didn't hit him, so I took risk. I just left. What do you mean? Not knowing that police officers, big police officers were around that place, so they pursued me. They pursue me, so hey, Jehovah, I hit somewhere, drove the car and parked the car somewhere, and as I just came out, they just held me by the neck and dragged me here and said, you kill somebody and you ran away. And as we're talking, the guy that claimed that the car hit him also came and was doing like this, as if he was about to die. Anyway, it's a long story. To cut long story short, God intervened. Somebody came in who is also a big man in the army who knows me very well and said, this person is a responsible person. Is this, is that, is this, in that. And then God eventually brought me out. Now, what am I trying to say? There are some people that kind of thing will happen to, and it can lead them into cell and they can rob them. I just remember this morning, around 3:30 a.m. this morning, 3:30 a.m. this morning. And I was just thanking God. Anything God has done for your family, he deserves to be praised for it. If you want the excellence in your family to come out, every time you have the opportunity, lift your voice. Somebody has helped you in the past. Somebody has assisted you in the past. Somebody has been there. We are in an ungrateful generation, whereby it is only what we are eating now that we are remembering. Anything that we are not eating now, we say, we cannot remember again. Don't let us be like that as believers. Don't let us be like that as believers. If we want to enjoy the best in our families. My prayer for you this morning is that as God liveth, excellence will not be strangulated in your family in Jesus' name. Anyone that sees your family will see that God has blessed your family. Did I hear you say a big amen? Did I hear you say a big amen? Number two key I'll be sharing with you, major killer of families, is what we call carnality. To be carnal. To be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. So every believer that wants his family to be blessed must not be carnal. Carnality is evidenced by things like envy between husband and wife. I've seen husbands who are envying the wife. Say, how can my wife get a PhD before me? How can my wife get a BSc before me? How can my wife get promotion before me? How can my wife be earning more money than me? That's carnality. Before you got married, you were separate. When you got married, you are now the same. Your husband's achievement is your achievement. Your wife's achievement is your achievement. There are families whereby the children are envying themselves. Elder brother is envying the younger one. Younger one is envying the elder brother. And it's also in the scripture, in the story of Cain and Abel. How many of us know that story? I mean, it's there. Yeah. God said, oh yeah, bring me sacrifice. They brought sacrifice and then one was accepted. The other one was not accepted because of a reason. What the person brought is not acceptable. God is not a beggar that you'll be giving him blind goats or giving him kwashokod harvest or offering that is dilapidated, the worst offering in the purse. You bring it out and say, God, take this. This is the offering for the Sunday morning. God, he feels insulted. So he said, I don't want this offering. That's what happened. And then as a result of that, he said, I'll kill this boy. Eventually, the blood of the boy was crying from the grave. And these things happen in real life where wives kill husbands because of envy. Husbands kill wives because of envy. Brothers killing brothers because of envy. It's a sign of carnality. It's a sign that the family is not on point. In Ephesians chapter 5 verse 15. Ephesians 5 verse 15. The Bible says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. In 1 Corinthians 3 verse 3. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 3. He said, are ye not carnal? Apostle Paul was speaking to the Corinthians church. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 3. Are ye not carnal? Are you carnal like this? For whereas there is among you, I can see among you envy, strife, divisions. That is cliques. No, from their family, they have cliques. Firstborn and secondborn, they are clique. Thirdborn and fifthborn, they are clear. Others, that's carnality. The wife has the first child and the last child is her own. The second one and the other one is daddy's own. Now, what kind of calamity is that? You can see calamity, carnality, they are similar. Let's go on. And strife, divisions, are ye not carnal? And walk as men. You are walking like ordinary men. Don't you know that you are a special person? You can do just what anybody is doing. Everyone that wants to enjoy the best of God in his family must not be carnality is a destroyer of a family. Carnality makes everybody in the family like mad people. When they get angry, they get angry. They break anything on anybody. They say anything they want to say. Let me tell you something. For those who are married among us and those who are planning to get married very soon. Let me say, words have power. When you say something, that thing you have said will be ringing in the mind of the person to which you have said it. And the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So when you have said, you cannot say, I was actually joking. No. What was in your mind was what you said. That's why you have to be careful of what you are saying. And when you are carnal, you first talk before you think. When you are spiritual, you first think before you talk. Hello. When you are carnal, you would have said, you this husband, you are very, very, I've been looking for useless men I've never seen. It's only you. You are number one. And after the man has said, ha, me, what did I do like that? And after some time, you now say, ah, that thing I said the other time, I was actually joking. The man will say, okay. The same man you are abusing and saying is very, very stupid. Somebody else is practically licking his feet outside. The same man that is like nobody to you. Somebody else wants to die over that man. You know, everything looks greener on the other side. When you are somewhere in a family, you say, ah, this man is not taking care of me. Let me tell you this. See, makeup does a lot of making up. Oh. Makeup covers a lot of things. That's why I always advise guys to always make sure they tell the girl to come out without makeup before they marry her. Say, please come out first before without makeup. Let me first see you first. Before we fix it. Because makeup covers a lot of things. Don't be a carnal believer. The Bible says you should be a believer that by your words you are drawing people to Christ. He said, let your word be seasoned with salt. Let your word be seasoned with salt. When you say things, some people take pride. Say, I talk a lot and I abuse people a lot. That's my hobby. What a hobby. Let me tell you. On the day of judgment, some people, it is their tongue that they will use to tie them and draw them into a fire. Yeah. Because every form of calamity is in their mouth. They are the ones that knows who is doing well. They are the ones that knows the family fighting. They are the ones that knows everything. Everything. Carnality at the peak. A plus carnality, BSC. If you want your family to enjoy the best of God, you must not be carnal. You know, one of the prayers you must pray every day is, Father, increase my spirituality. Kill carnality in me. Destroy the seed of iniquity. Destroy the seed of carnality. Destroy the seed of iniquity in my life so that I can stand before you as a righteous man, as a righteous woman. My prayer for you is that all the days of your life, all the days of your life, carnality will not be found in you and in your family in the name of Jesus. Somebody say a big amen. Somebody say a big amen. Well, it's also our covenant day of fruitfulness. And one of the major things that God wants for you and I is to be fruitful in life. That's his desire. To be fruitful in life. Fruitfulness goes beyond the issue of procreation. Because when we talk of fruitfulness, people think that we are only talking of having children. No! Fruitfulness is far beyond procreation. When we are talking about wealth and surplus, it's in fruitfulness. When we are talking about success in examination, it's fruitfulness. When we are talking about having properties and acquisition of great things of life, it's part of fruitfulness. When you are talking about promotion in the place of work, it's part of fruitfulness. When your business is growing, they say the business is fruitful. Your business will be fruitful. In Genesis chapter 1 verse 28, it's one of the major things that God told us to do, to be fruitful. And God blessed them and God said unto them, be fruitful. Be fruitful. Be fruitful. That is, in whatsoever assignment you are doing, you must be fruitful. And I have noticed in my short life that one of the major areas the devil tries to frustrate us as believers is to make us unfruitful in assignment. And today, God will terminate all such matters in the name of Jesus. Any family here or any life here, either in the Praise Tabernacle here, or watching us from any of the viewing centers, or watching us from anywhere, anyone that has any challenge of unfruitfulness in any area, that issue shall be arrested this morning in the name of Jesus. I said that issue shall be arrested this morning in the name of Jesus. Let me hear you say a big amen. Let me hear you say a big amen. Let me hear you say a big amen. God is going to do something very wonderful in somebody's life in the name of Jesus. Somebody say a big amen. You will be fruitful and you will multiply. You will enjoy the best that life has in store for you. I say you will enjoy the best that life has in store for you. I say you will enjoy the best that life has in store for you. In the name of Jesus. So, what God sent me here to do this morning, amongst other things, is to release upon you the grace to be fruitful. To release the grace upon you to be fruitful in your endeavors. That is, you are resuming to work tomorrow and things begin to work better. You are resuming to your offices tomorrow and things begin to work better. You are checking your exam results and things begin to get better for you. Somebody say a loud amen. Somebody say a loud amen. Difficulties, blockages, hindrances shall all be cleared away this morning in the name of Jesus. Somebody believe that, shout, I believe it. And that will be your portion in Jesus' name. If you are the first that God will visit this morning, let me hear your loudest amen. Let me hear another amen. Before we go into the prayer sessions this morning, I believe that there are some people here in this first service that is saying to me, Pastor, I want to be very fruitful in life. I want to do very well in my endeavors. I want to prosper in my endeavors and in my undertakings. I want to progress. But there's something I want to first settle. I want to rededicate my life to Jesus. I want to ask God for mercy. I want God to forgive me my sins. I want God to cleanse me from my past so that fruitfulness can open up for me. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed this morning, I want to pray with you, beloved. I want to pray. I'll be counting from 1 to 5. I want you to please be on your feet where I'll be able to see you. And you can just be on your feet and then I can pray with you. 1. You want to rededicate your life to Jesus? You want your life to change for the better? You don't want to be the same again. You don't want your life to continue in the same pattern. You want God to bless you. You want God to change your life. You want God to upgrade your life. You want God to take you to another height, to another level. I want to pray with you. I want to pray with you. Be on your feet quickly. Go on, be on your feet quickly. 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 Also, you are watching us on the internet from anywhere. You want me to pray with you also. You want me to pray with you also. You want me to pray with you also. You want me to pray with you. Please send an email or a text to the phone number stated that you are rededicating your life to Jesus. Also, you are here. You have given your life to Christ before, but you want to rededicate. You want to rededicate. That is, you want to start with God again. You are not a bad person. I'm not saying you are a bad person, but you just want to, you want to cry to God for mercy, and you want to rededicate your life to Christ. Please be on your feet quickly. Be on your feet quickly and join those who are standing. God bless you. God bless you. I can see you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. 3. Also, you are here in this first service. You know in your heart of heart. You cannot remember the day you gave your life to Christ. If somebody comes to you now and say, my daughter, my son, when did you give your life to Christ? You don't know the date. Today's the date. Today's the date. Please quickly be on your feet and join those who are standing already. You must, just like you have your birthday, you should have your spiritual birthday. Today is that day. Today is that day. Join those who are standing already. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. You want today to be your spiritual birthday. 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 God bless you. Be on your feet quickly. God bless you. 4. Just before I pray this morning, you know in your heart of heart you are seated, but you should be standing. How do you want to stand out when you refuse to stand for God? A man cannot stand out except he stands for God. Standing for God makes you stand out. Standing for God makes you stand out. Stand out in life. And if your desire is to stand out in life, then this is the time. This is the hour. And I know as you do that, the Lord will bless you and will do wonders in your life. I'm giving you just 5 more seconds and we'll pray. 5 more seconds and we'll pray. And your life will never be the same again. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Also, if you are watching us on the internet, let us know that you are taking this all-important decision. And the Lord will bless you in the name of Jesus. If there are those who are dedicating their life to Christ in the viewing center, please give them the cards. Let them fill it out very quickly. Also in that location, so that they can also be registered and we can pray along with them. God bless you all in Jesus. For those who are standing, God bless you. Put your right hand on your chest and say after me, Lord Jesus, please forgive me my sins. Please cleanse me from my past. Afresh, as your daughter, as your son, I declare Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you, Lord, for strengthening me. To you be all the glory in Jesus. Keep those hands on your chest as I pray for you, those who are here and those who are watching us. God bless you. Father, thank you for these wonderful men and women. Father, bless them. Write their names in the book of life. Let your blessings rest on them. Let your favor rest on them. Let it be well with them. And let your name be glorified. Thank you, Father. In
Jesus' name. Wow. I know you must have been blessed by this message. Please feel free to worship with us at Impact House International Church, Praise Tabernacle, along Pipeline Road, Ilorin. For more inquiries, you can call 081-086-78878. or visit our website www.impacthouseinternationalchurch.org.